Hello and welcome to this time of reflection and meditation on this Monday of Holy Week. This coming Sunday is Easter, and as much as we'd like to have an outdoor worship service, that's just not going to happen because we want everyone to stay safe at home. We are beginning to experience just some of the implications of not being able to be together for quite some time. So I wanted to spend a little time each day during Holy Week this year to share with you some thoughts and reflections. Hopefully, this can help us move through this Holy Week with some intentionality and reverence and remember what's really going on here. There is an accompanying PowerPoint presentation with this recorded message, and there will be one with each message each day of the week to come. I invite you to open them each day. There are links to Bible readings and suggested hymns and praise songs to help you with your devotion time. I encourage you to take advantage of all these resources. I also want to make you aware of something we're going to try on Thursday. We traditionally have a communion service in the sanctuary on Maundy Thursday. Obviously, that cannot happen this year. We do, however, want to try to have a virtual communion service as part of our Holy Week series. It will take place beginning at 7 o'clock Thursday evening. You'll be able to connect to the service through Kirkwood's website. Hopefully, it won't crash with all of us on it at the same time, but we'll have a chance to celebrate the Lord's Supper as a part of our reflection and meditation time. In preparation, you can make sure you have access to some kind of bread and juice. Grape juice is preferable, but any kind of juice and bread you have available will work just fine. Again, that will be Thursday at 7 p.m. As we start our first reflection and meditation time tonight, I want to pray Psalm 36, verses 5 through 11. If you'd like to read the psalm along with me, you can use your Bible or you can click on the PowerPoint slide. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. You can pause the recording until you get ready. Let us pray. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. O, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright in heart. Do not let the foot of the arrogant tread on me, or the hand of the wicked drive me away. In your name we pray, great and mighty God. Amen. On this Monday of Holy Week, amid our continued COVID-19 lockdown, we've been invited by the great Creator of all that there is to look up. It is so very easy to focus our attention wherever we may find our feet. We have been formed from the dust of the earth, and so often we grow accustomed to the things of this earth. Yet even as we try as best we can to exist in this global pandemic, we can lift up our eyes and consider that God is bigger. God is bigger than we are. God is more than we are. God is more loving. God is more faithful. God is more steadfast. God's righteousness and mercy, God's justice and judgment, God's steadfastness and generosity will lift us from our mortal selves and set us firmly in the Holy of Holies, eternal in the heavens. The contemporary Christian group Third Day recorded a song several years ago that is based on Psalm 36. I invite you to click on the PowerPoint slide and worship the God whose love reaches to the heavens. Sing along if you'd like. Our next Bible reading is Isaiah 42, 1 through 9. Listen to God's word to you. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Once again, we were reminded that God Almighty created the heavens and the earth. Having just come out of 2 weeks of firsthand experience with this nasty coronavirus, it feels in a very real way that I have been released from bondage. Isaiah 42 was written to a people who had been released from bondage. They had spent 70 years in Babylonian captivity, and they were trying to rebuild their lives. Many of us are still wondering how much longer this time of self-isolation is going to last. We can still trust in God's promise, though. The promise God made to the people of Israel long ago is the same promise God has made to us through Christ Jesus, our Savior. The former things are over, and all things are being made new. We don't know when this period of isolation will end, but it will end. And we can trust that as we let Jesus remain at the center of our lives, we will experience the fresh new winds of the Holy Spirit filling us with the power of eternity. Let us pray. Great and mighty God, we have come from you, and one day we shall return to you. You sent Jesus into this world so that we would not have to live a single moment in isolation from your love. As we watch and wait for the new and blessed things you are doing among us, we ask that you keep us faithful. Keep us faithful to you and to one another. Keep our eyes and ears, our hearts and minds open to the stirring of your Holy Spirit. In this trying time, when many lives are being lived in fear and panic, chaos seems to be the order of the day. Quiet and calm our souls, that we may rest in your goodness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls, with the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer, sanctify those who have been defiled so that their flesh is purified, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead works to the worship of the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, because a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions under the first covenant. Nobody really knows who wrote the book of Hebrews, but one thing is clear about it. Whoever did write it had a deep knowledge of the Old Testament. That's especially true here in this passage from chapter 9. The writer graphically recalls how the high priest would sprinkle the blood of goats and bulls along with the ashes of a burned-up heifer carcass to purify the people of Israel on the Day of Atonement. He draws a parallel with Jesus, who was the highest priest of all, who had not only offered a sacrifice that is acceptable to God, he was the sacrifice itself. I think that one of the biggest causes of fear and panic is the loss of control. When our health wanes, when our lives are threatened, when our routines are disrupted and our assumptions laid bare, we are reminded that we control so very little in this universe. In spite of what the world tries to tell us, God is in control, and God wants to be in control of our lives. Jesus made it possible for us to know that. I invite you to pause the video for a few minutes and meditate on an old hymn of the church that reminds us of this reality. You can click anywhere on the slide. God is working his purpose out. Today's gospel reading is John 12, 1 through 11. Let's listen to the word of God. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner party for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priest planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and believing in Jesus. Jesus brought life back into the household of his good friends, who lived just outside Jerusalem. Martha and Mary had been overwhelmed with grief at losing their brother Lazarus, only to have become firsthand witnesses to Jesus' power over death itself. And in their exuberance, they decided to throw a party. It was during that party that Mary made one of the most prophetic gestures recorded in the New Testament. While they were eating, Mary poured perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped it off with her hair. It caused a fair amount of controversy, and according to John, it led to Judas' betrayal of Jesus. Jesus specifically noted that Mary had anointed him for burial. As we make our way through this Holy Week, with all the weirdness that it is bringing into our lives, we can remember that no matter where we may have to go in these days and weeks to come, we have a Lord, a Master, a God who has already been there. He has walked the road before us, and He will walk the road with us. He is the great High Priest who is worthy to make sacrifice on our behalf. He is the sacrifice who willingly gave up His life for us. He is the eternal God who has the whole world and every one of us in the palm of His hand. And we have been invited to join Him in the most holy place, eternal in the heavens. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, at exactly the right time, You sent Your Son into this world. He was born a long time ago in a place very far away from here. He grew up among a people who had a special relationship with You, and sometimes they did a pretty good job of being the people You needed them to be, but most of the time they made a big mess of everything. Jesus came to live among them. He studied Your ancient teachings as He grew into adulthood. He grew in wisdom and stature and respect. When the time came for Him to start His public ministry, some people followed Him, but many didn't. Some found His teachings too hard. Others found them ridiculous. Some wanted to follow, but they had too many other obligations. Others didn't have time to pay much attention to Him. He taught those who would listen. He healed, He cured, He cared for all who would let Him. But ultimately, He was rejected, and He died alone, hanging on a cross. We thank You, great and mighty God, that that is not the end of the story. But also teach us, once again, Holy Lord, that it is part of the story. The power of Easter comes to the shame of the cross. As we prepare to celebrate His glorious resurrection this coming Sunday, we want to remember the agony He went through for us. We want to remember why He chose to do that. We want to reflect on what it means for us here and now in 21st century America in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic. We know that pain and disease and death are not part of Your good and perfect intention for creation, but they are very real and very much around us today. And so we pray for those whose lives are being affected the most, those who are infected, and those who try to provide medical help. We pray for leaders around the world who continue to work so hard to develop strategies to ensure public safety. We pray for Your church as we seek ways to be faithful servants and stewards during this time of upheaval. We ask for Your Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Your Spirit of power and might, Your Spirit of grace and love, that all the world may know just how strong Jesus really is. We pray in His precious name. Amen. In conclusion, I invite you to reflect on the name of Jesus with Bill and Gloria Gaither. And as you do, may God bless you and keep you. Amen.